In today's episode, we talk about God, acceptance of God, and the Quran, and I found the information to be very informative, and I really like having conversations like this where we can just bounce off ideas and ask questions to have a better understanding of religion, faith, God, and just spirituality in general. So if you guys enjoy this type of information and content, I highly recommend clicking that subscribe button down below so you never miss another episode. That was good. Beautiful. So I typically start my intros afterwards to figure out like what we want to talk about. Like just I kind of cover it there. So kind of what I was thinking, because like clearly you and I, we just met, we were just having a conversation just over Discord because I found your post on Instagram and I saw it was around mindset, mental health, being alone. And I was like, okay, clearly, because I've also been in those same positions where I felt alone and like alone, like just sad and just like no direction on places to go. So I was curious as to kind of like what made you want to go down that route of wanting to do the self-improvement and kind of overcome that like mindset of like the aloneness and like the mentality of like, okay, I don't like where I'm at and I want to be somewhere new type of thing.
Okay, that's a beautiful place to start, actually. You know, and to answer that question, I got to take you back. I got to take you back 3 years. And when I'm taking you back three years, this was end of high school for me. So I'm 20 years old now. How old are you, by the way?
27.
27. All right, bet. So this is a nice age difference too. You know, we got a lot of different perspective. You own your own perspectives. I got my own perspectives, and we have our own life experiences. So it's beautiful to build up upon. So yeah, 3 years back, I was 17, 18, 16, and what happened is I was going through a really rough patch in my life. Right, I was going through this time in my life where I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know who I'm going to be. But I just knew that I wanted to have fun. I wanted to be a teenager just like, you know, everybody wants to be, right? But it led to some downfalls, me getting too attached to certain people and then those people leaving. And, you know, there's not much I could have done about that. But it's the way I reacted to it that really changed my perspective on everything, you know? So at first, I reacted to things in a really bad way. I blamed myself. I did a lot of self-hate, you know, as the opposite of self-love, right? And I was just really worried about what I got going on, and, you know, it was just a really down place to be in, right? But then there was this one night, and I want to talk to you about this night that was really special to me, because this night is the night that changed my life, right? And I've told this story many times to many different people, and the reason I tell this story is because if it was so changing for me, and it was in such a positive direction for me, I feel like it can also help other people. So what was that change? Well, basically, I was up one night, late at night, and I started writing notes in my phone. I usually journal sometimes here and there. Oh, you're going to have to give me a second. I'm so sorry. I got to get my charger.
Dude, you take your time. I'm so sorry. Don't be. This is the joys of doing what we do right now. Like, that's why I like, because it's much more authentic and genuine. And I feel like too often from what it comes down to, like when people expect they need to have everything perfect before they get started. So I'm just like, this is just kind of where we begin. And these are the things that I enjoy have happening because, yeah, it's fun. It keeps one, me on my toes, and the audience, like, I feel like wondering like, oh, wow, this dude, like, he's able to do this or do that type of thing. And just realize that, like, we don't have to have everything perfect,
yeah,
to be able to get started. And I've been in that perfect place for too long where it's like, I need to have all this information, I need to have the right equipment, I need to have a studio, I need to be able to do it in person. And it's just like, might as well just start where we're at and start building and growing. Just
start with whatever you got. Exactly, yeah. Start with whatever you got, and, you know, everything else falls into place. If you really are trying, you know, God will help you find a way.
Exactly.
I'm mentioning God, bro. I love God.
Hey, bro, I love God too. It's fantastic. It's something that I didn't fully accept for the longest time, just because I just didn't understand it. But I have probably a different view than most people do around God. And if we want to go into that conversation as well, I'm happy to have my ideas challenged and like perspectives. And like, if you want to do the same thing, by all means, like, we can always take it in that direction as well too. I just feel like you still want to relay that story first, and then maybe we can kind of like head over in there if you're interested.
For sure, sounds good. Yeah, I do have a lot of perspectives on that. I have a lot of self journeys that it comes to, like, my relationship with God and how that all came to be and everything, you know. And this story kind of relates to that, actually, which is crazy, you know. But everything happens for a reason, my man. So As I was laying down in my bed, you know, late at night, back 3 years ago, right after 2021, right? So what happened is I'm writing notes in my phone, and I'm just writing and writing and writing. And I just talk about different things. I'm an artist myself, so I like to make raps, you know? So I'll make different raps and just bars on bars on bars, right? So I wrote them, like, I still remember what I wrote down, you know? It's in my phone. I look at it all the time because it's a certain sort of motivation for me, a really good inspiration for me, right? So what I wrote down is, like, I'm going to be smiling, teeth so bright, they be shining. I'm having fun. You wasting your time hating. I'm having fun. Everybody love me when I love myself. You know, everybody win when I win. Spending time with people, taking their gems, reimbursing them with mine, see how the light shine from within. You know, I'm about to put all my therapy sessions into raps. You can win. And then something. I don't even remember exactly, I'm going to be honest with you, but I just know that, like, I started it off with bars, and then it came into free writing, and I didn't stop for a single second the whole night. Like, obviously, I did stop, you know, for a few minutes or whatever, but it was in that one flow state. You know, when you get in that flow state and you're just really writing down your thoughts, it was such a sense of freeing, a sense of, like, a way that I didn't experience before, right? And I was overcome with emotion. I was overcome with a lot of emotion. I was crying, tears of happiness. And at one point during this whole writing, I went into the bathroom and I looked at the mirror and I looked at myself and I told myself, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I was smiling the whole time doing that and pointing at myself in the mirror, right? And it was such a joyous experience because I was crying tears of happiness, man. And it was just so overwhelming and everything, right? And after that day, I went into a lot of troubles after that day, but I was generally overall happier, right? And I put myself in those troubles, in those problems, because of the mission that I wanted to accomplish, right? So I'm writing a book, and I decided I wanted to start writing that book on that night. You know, and I started writing that book, and it's all, like, it's halfway done. I've been writing it for 2-3 years, you know, and the title of that book is really, really, how should I put it? It's really outlandish. Like, if I tell you the title of the book, you're going to be like, damn, how, what, how the fuck? So let me tell you the title of the book. It's called How to Be Permanently Happy, right? And wait, before you say anything, I know you're taken aback from it, but the reason I named it How to Be Permanently Happy is because, first of all, I wanted to have an eye-catching title where people look at the book and they'll be like, yo, how can somebody be permanently happy? That's not possible, man. I gotta read this book, see what this guy is bullshitting about, right? So I made it that, and then second of all, I'm blanking here, but... Oh yeah, so the book, it directly talks about, like, the title directly talks about what the book is about. It's mental health, it's about tips and tricks on how to be permanently happy, you know, and everything like that. And I understand happiness is not something that you should constantly chase and everything. But at the same time, what I wanted to also add is that I have my life experiences in the whole first half of the book, right? My own life experiences is a testament to the fact that, yes, maybe you're not able to achieve permanent happiness, but it's that journey that you should fall in love with that you can be able to achieve permanent contentness. I don't even know if that's a word, but, like, being content with who you are, with what place you are in life and things of that nature. There's a chapter in my book. It's called Happiness, Permanent Happiness, or Being Content. And which should you choose, right? So that's a chapter in my book and everything, but I'm going to give you a chance to give me your thoughts on whatever I just said, and then we can move on.
Yeah, I mean, I was just more curious as to, like, your perspective on, like, contentment versus happiness, because happiness is something that I've myself tried to stumble upon. Like, I've read the Stumbling Upon Happiness, and it's a great book, and it's just, like, every time I think I'm trying to look for other things that, like, say it's a car or a home or, like, a relationship or whatever it is, I'm like, okay, this is where I'm going to be happy. But it's like, happiness starts, like, within me first and then kind of, like, goes out from there. And it's like, there are days when obviously I won't be happy. There's days probably when you aren't happy as well too, but it's just like finding that peace. And I think that's kind of where God ties into it as well too, of like, okay, he's something that I can go after, like, be part of and, like, just kind of experience and bring that happiness into myself. So yeah, it is it's a different, I'd say, perspective, and it's a good perspective to have, because we can be happy every single day if we so choose. Like, it's a choice, and most people, I just don't think, choose to be happy, and it makes me sad seeing that, but it's also, like, they just don't know type of thing. So that's why, like, having these conversations and hearing it from, like, yourself is really cool just to even have a book that's called like Permanently Happy. I love that, man. It's awesome.
Right. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. And some things I wanted to add on what you said is the fact that, yes, people can choose whether they want to be happy or not, right? But it's a learned skill. Just like, you know, learning how to video edit or learning how to, you know, skateboard or learning how to do that. You got to train your mind, train your daily habits into getting into that position where your perspective and the way you look at things is coming from a source of gratitude deep within you. When it comes from a source of gratitude deep within you, that's when you really know that, like, yo, I can achieve happiness and I can achieve being content with the way my life is right now, and I know I'm headed in the right direction and things are going to go great just because of the way I love looking at life right now. And I feel like that is very powerful.
Yeah, it is all about your perspective on life, because if you're always seeing the bad, that's all you're ever going to see. And I've come to see, I'm like, if I just see the good in people, like, that's all I'm ever going to see as well too. And maybe it's a bias that I have, but it's also like, I just rather see good in people than bad, and it usually seems to bring the best out of them by doing so.
Right, for sure. And now let me talk to you about some experiences, man. I've never talked about this in a podcast before. Like, I've talked to my friends before about it and everything, but I feel like I should just talk about it. And I've been, okay, so there was somebody that asked me a question on Instagram, right? They were telling me, like, you talked about mental health and everything and how you want to be there to help people with mental health. Is there any mental health issues that you've gone through? And, like, what issues have you gone through, right? They were asking me. So I said, yes, there is something that I've gone through, and it's called bipolar disorder, right? So I have bipolar disorder, and I don't know if maybe you have it or other people have it, but I know bipolar disorder is nowadays getting more and more common based with the diagnosis that these doctors are making and everything. But how did I live with bipolar disorder, and I still live with bipolar disorder, and how do I manage to live my life day to day in a positive way, right? Obviously, I have my downs. Obviously, I have my periods of time where I don't feel like myself. But how do I pull myself out of those situations in order to be the positive Shahir that I know I am, you know? So right now, as you can see, if I hold my hand out, like my hand will it'll be shaking a little bit, right? That's because I have tremors, right? And the reason I'm telling you about this, bro, I haven't told a lot of people, but like, I'm on certain different medication and I'm having a whole battle with my own medication and everything. But I feel like the world should know that even if you are going through something like that, don't feel alone. You're not alone. I'm with you. I'm sure the millions of other people who also have this disorder are with you. And there's geniuses out there who have bipolar disorder, and they've done a lot of amazing things for society, right? I want to be one of those people that contributes to the happiness of society and, you know, be like, at the same time, I'm a servant of God. You know, I'm ultimately serving God's, you know, one of God's purposes, and he's using me as a vessel in order to spread happiness and spread the religion towards other people in this world.
Exactly. Because is your bipolar like fully diagnosed in? Like
and I'll get into more details about it, but like it's been fully diagnosed, everything. I'm on medication for it and everything, but I'm slowly getting it off the medication, so it's a good thing, you know. You know, I give myself a pat on my chest for that, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like, dude, see that, I love hearing that, because it's like everybody thinks that they need to be like this person or that person, and bringing it to light, like the mental health things, it's just like, it's a much more, because I wouldn't say, like, I have my highs and my lows, but I don't know if it's necessarily like considered bipolar. I thought it was just kind of being human, so I just have never like been diagnosed or anything.
Define to you what does bipolar mean, because a lot of people have this misconception that, oh, if you have mood swings, you're bipolar.
Yeah,
that's not what bipolar is, right? Bipolar is an extreme side of a certain type of emotion for a long period of time, or drastic mood swings, but they're extreme mood swings towards one side or the other. Like, for example, I named my book How to Be Permanently Happy. Now it kind of connects. Now it kind of clicks. Like, why did I name it Permanently Happy? Because I was in a mental state where all I only thought was irrational thoughts, and I was thinking to myself, yo, I can only be permanently happy, but happiness is the only thing that matters, and this and that, and yo, I'm so happy and everything, and I can't let myself be sad and everything. And I was numbing myself from the problems that I was supposed to face and I was supposed to feel. But instead, I just like, you know, that's why I talk about it in my book, right? And I feel like it's so enlightening towards these people that don't understand that what bipolar disorder actually is. And once they understand what it actually is and how to deal with it and everything, like, you should obviously consult a professional, consult this and that. But, you know, take it. It's a journey with yourself. It's a journey with your mind. It's a journey with your emotions, right? So when you understand that it's a journey with yourself, the better you are to yourself, the better you are going to be with your condition. That's just how it is.
Exactly. And self-compassion is probably one of the hardest things that anybody ever has to do. It's just like, we can be compassionate towards our friends, our family members, everybody else. But then when it comes to like self, it's like, I'm not going to be nice to you. Like, I'll be a dick to you. And I'm just like, well, why? And like, changing that perspective does bring a lot more happiness and fulfillment. At least it has for me personally. It sounds like it's probably kind of done the same thing for yourself too, which I don't know if you have any like tips or suggestions on like how you were able to kind of come to that self-compassion and being able to be like more nice to yourself. Because I know I've struggled with it over the years.
I've actually talked about this. Yeah, that's a great question, my brother. You know, Caleb, first of all, I just got to put this out there. I'm loving the talk so far. This is what I was talking about, the flow, the natural state and everything, you know. And when one person understands you, and just that's how you can get a nice flow of conversation going. So this is beautiful, man. You're a good conversationalist, mashallah.
Man. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Sure. Yeah. So going back to your question, what is one thing that, you know, you can start of indicate to yourself that, yo, I need to start doing self-compassion, and how do you start doing that, right? I feel like the conversation that you have in your head is so important for that exact reason. If you're having a bad conversation in your head and it's all negative self-talk, you're going to look at yourself in a negative point of view. You're going to hate yourself. You're going to project your own self-hate onto others as hate to them. And, you know, that's just not going to be a fun experience, right? And then on top of that, when you have a positive self-talk, the way that that ultimately brings a lot of joy to one person is the fact that you're able to show yourself love whenever you want to, whenever you need to. If you're in a down place, go close your eyes for a few minutes and talk to yourself. It's not weird. I talk about this in my book as well. I say, talk to yourself out loud if you want to. I've talked to myself out loud. People will call me crazy for it because obviously I don't go around in public spaces and I'm talking to myself. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But like, if you're in your room alone and you feel like you need to vent to somebody and you don't know who to trust or you don't have anybody there for you, you've got your back. You've got your own back, you know, and that's not being weird. That's not being lonely. That just means that you're building a relationship with yourself that will help you build relationship with others, build your relationship with God. But ultimately, when you build your relationship with yourself, you'll be able to function in society as a better individual, because society itself is really based on, oh, what is this person's view on me, right? What is this person's perspective on me, and what is he thinking about? But in reality, 99% of the time, they're not worried or thinking about you. They're worried and thinking about themselves, and they're thinking about, oh, what is that guy thinking of me, right? So ultimately, it's a full circle of just people worried about what other people are thinking, when in reality, that person is not thinking about them.
Exactly. And it's a cool perspective to have, because everybody, yeah, I've been in those places too, dude, where it's just like, I have this, oh, somebody's thinking this of me, or somebody's thinking that of me. And then I'm like, why am I allowing myself to have like their thoughts taking up my mental capacity? Like, isn't it better for me to go live my life and have my experiences? Because I've been in, I mean, I'll go out and vlog in public sometimes. And when I first started doing it, like, I was like, if I had a camera and I was talking to a camera out in public, I'm like, people are going to think I'm crazy. And I'm like, well, I'm not just talking to a camera. I'm talking with people on the other side, other side of the screen type of thing. So it's a different perspective, because I've spent a lot of time like alone, kind of like we were talking about at the beginning, where it was just me like talking to myself in the mirror. It was just me like laying in bed and like just making like videos of myself, just talking to myself. And there was never anybody that was listening. And I was like, this is weird. This is crazy. This is strange. But I had that mental shift of, it's just like, I'm not talking to myself. Like, I'm kind of talking to God. I'm talking to like the higher consciousness. I'm talking to myself in a sense. And it's just like, that's how I was able to get closer and more in tune with like my own being, because I did have those tough conversations with myself. And I did look at myself in the mirror, and I would just sometimes like, dude, I would stare at myself in the mirror for hours sometimes, like just looking at myself, yeah. Wouldn't say anything. I was just
that's
like
an exercise. That's just a look. That's a whole mental exercise for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. because it's a different perspective that I just don't think many of us, at least other friends of mine, haven't experienced fully. But it's like, that's where I've been able to come closer to myself, closer to God, like just closer to my being. And I absolutely love it, man. Like, it's exciting for me to hear that other people do the same thing too.
That's beautiful. Yeah. It's exciting for me to hear that you're doing the same thing. You know, there's very few people out there that are willing to work on themselves and that are willing to, like, you know, like we talked about in the first Discord call before this one, how you need to put yourself in uncomfortable situations to be comfortable in any type of situation, right? If anybody asks me for one piece of advice, this is the piece of advice that I give them, right? And I've talked about it on other podcasts as well and everything, right? But, like, another tip I wanted to give out is, like, let's say you're afraid to go talk to somebody, right? So let's say you're afraid to go talk to somebody and there's somebody that you want to talk to, or you have to do a public speech or something, right? Now, let me tell you this one trick that you can do. It's called the counting down from five rule, or the 5-second countdown. In your head, you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then boom, go ahead, just do the thing that you want to do. You want to go talk to that person, you want to talk to that beautiful girl, go ahead, just walk up to her and talk to her. But you got to count down from five so that you can get that initial jump, that initial boost that in order to do it. And you know who told me this information, bro? It was my own dad, bro. My own dad is such a philosophical guy, such a, like, he knows how to really go into the human psychology and everything. He's a huge inspiration, motivation for me.
Has he always been that way for you?
Yeah, he's always been very intuitive, and our relationship hasn't always been the best, but recently and throughout the years recently, it's been growing a lot better, a lot stronger, and I'm just grateful to God for that.
Right. I feel like every father and son have that same dynamic, because I've been in your same shoes where, like, my dad and I, we would just, like, butt heads, but then it's just like he's always been the biggest supporter of me. So it's cool to see how things change over time. And there was something else that I was, yeah. So, like, with you being 20 as well too, like, do you think your words don't go as far as maybe they would if you, like, you were older and, like, had more experience? Because I know when I was in your shoes, I was saying the same things, not the exact same things, but it's just like, I had always had the belief that it's like, well, I'm 20, like, who's going to listen to me? Like, I know that my words are valuable, but it's like, why would they listen to me when they're 40 or 50 or 30 or whatever it may be? I don't know if you've run into that same thing or not.
I personally haven't had that mental perspective myself, where I'm thinking that, oh, because of my age, a lot of people won't be able to connect with me. Because I've had people who are your age, even older, you know, want to come up to me and talk to me, and they'll be spilling out their whole life secrets to me. And I know that sounds like odd or whatever, but it's because I've mastered the art. I shouldn't say mastered, but I'm very good at making people feel comfortable when they're talking to me, right? And the way that I do that, and I feel like this is a tip that everybody wants, if they want to know how to make other people feel comfortable talking to you, even if your English may not be the best, even if you have an accent, even if you're not well versed in whatever you want to talk about, but if you are talking about yourself in an exposing type of manner, where you expose yourself in a way that is like you're opening up about yourself, people will want to open up about to themselves about you. And you ask them questions where they first open up about themselves, then you add up upon that and you go a level higher, then they will go two levels higher. And the same rule applies with something else too, where, like, if somebody's not showing you love or somebody doesn't like you or something like that, I always show them 10 times more love than I receive from them. Because that is just a general principle that I want to really teach to the world, right? It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're older than me, if you think that you got this going on, and you, as long as they're not having that self-entitled belief where they think that, yo, I'm better than this person because he's younger than me, which is respectful. Like, I understand where you can be coming from. But if you have an open mind, and in today's generation, more people are having open minds, which is a good thing to see. And there's also just the same amount of people who are not having an open mind, but these people with open minds, they'll be willing to listen to you. So it's all about finding your right person, and that right person will find you. It's inevitable. And I know my words will reach the right audience, inshallah. And I say inshallah, which means through God's will.
Through God's will. See, and I'm not too familiar with, because it's from the Quran, right? Is that, or am I mistaken? Yeah, I don't have much background. My videographer on one of my other channels, he talks a lot about like the Quran, and he's Muslim, and I'm like, I love that. Like, I just like talking with everybody from everybody's different perspective, because I think, and you may or may not agree with this, and that's perfectly okay, but from what I've been able to see is I'm like, everything is more or less the same. It's just said in a different way, which resonates better with somebody else. Like, because it's just like, it is all like, it all comes together. Like one of the other podcasts that I've had with one of my other friends, he talks about how like, it's just all energies, and like how you're saying, like the right people just kind of start to become attracted to the type of content that you are creating. And as long as you create something that is meaningful, I think the right audience will come. Like, I don't know if you've heard of Sam Solak at all or not, but like, he's a big dude, like so he's like a bodybuilder dude, and his content is just like, it's no edits, no fancy stuff. Like, it's literally just him like driving, going to the gym, showing his workout, like coming home. Like, there's nothing fancy about it, very plain, mundane, but he was able to attract an audience of like 2.5 million people. So like, it's really interesting to see how there doesn't have to be one specific way of creating content. It's like, it'll be happen and expressed through God's will, and it'll kind of come to ourselves, which I've always found really fascinating. And I always love like hearing other people's perspective, because God is, I'd say he's working through each and every single one of us to help us fulfill like the thing that he came down here to achieve type of thing.
Definitely. And I do want to kind of go more into the religious aspect of this. Since we're talking about God, you mentioned that, and I'm not saying this to challenge you, I'm saying this just to open up your perspective, right? And you said that everything is almost kind of the same, right? Mm-hmm. And everything kind of ties in together, and certain things are different just so they can resonate with a certain group of people, right? Now, I totally get where you're coming from, but there's a whole history behind this. And let me talk to you about the history, which you may not know about, right? And I'm going to give you the information to the best of my knowledge. Whatever I don't know, I will tell you I don't know. And, you know, you can ask somebody who does know, right? But I know to the best of my knowledge, and that's whatever I'll give to you, right? So there was, you know, God himself created and everything, the creator of everything, right? And he brought down the first man, you know, and everything. And they gave him a religion. And throughout time, there was books, right? And these were called the holy books, right? There was the Bible, there was this and that, but we call them the Torah, and we call them, so over time, why is this all connected? It's because it's the same God. It's not a different God, right? And this same God is giving out messages towards certain people at certain times because of the way those people are living their lives, right? And now he has sent down a final book to the last messenger, you know, you know his name, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And this final book is a guidebook for all of humanity. But why does it sound so similar to these other books? This is what people can't wrap their heads around. It's because the same God did reveal those books, but we just believe as Muslims that those books, over time, they were changed and altered, and the Quran has been the same for over 1400 years, which is why, you know, because they found really old Qurans, right? So the reason that you can really connect with Islam and you can connect with God as a human being, right, is like another thing that you said, is that God is within all of us and everything, and he's trying to connect all these energies together and everything. And I agree with that, you know. And I also agree that everything happens for a reason at exactly the time it's meant to happen, right? So me talking to you right now, it's meant to be happening right now at exactly 9:21 p.m. in Pakistan. I don't know what time it is for you.
9:22 a.m.
You know that. Wow, that's crazy, man. So yeah, that's beautiful, and I would like to know your thoughts about that.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty cool, dude. Really, really cool. Let me think about it. Like, just think for a second. What are the odds, you know? No, dude, you're good. I was just kind of slightly talking to myself / thinking out loud, because I'll ask you a question here in a second too as well. Yeah, no, it was more just kind of me talking out loud. I'm getting ideas or less. Yeah. And then no rush whatsoever right now. Yeah, I've never had to take meds myself, but I understand like how you got to take them at a specific time to make sure things are working out in the right way. Yeah, no worries. We don't need to have that recorded by any means. We can always talk about that off camera or something like that, because you can understand how that can be a little challenging. Yeah. I know family struggles with those types of things, but yeah, dude. The whole thing around just religion and God being within us and our whole perspective on those things, I find it fascinating, because it is like everything is happening for a reason. Every conversation that we have, like, I always wanted to be at the position where I could be talking about these. Like, I've been doing this for the past 6 years consistently, but been making videos like my entire life. So I was under the impression where it's like, yeah. Yeah, dude, I don't give up. I'm like, I know that I can do this. Like, there's been times where people have told me, hey, don't do this, don't do that, whatever it may be. But it's a very small minority of people. So I'm like, I'd rather be talking with like the mass majority of people and try to bring out those types of perspectives compared to not. And that's why when like I have conversations with you and other people that I meet, I'm like, okay, there is something out there that is propelling me forward in this direction. And I'd love to be able to share it with more people, because like me coming to the grasp was like, okay, yeah, there is God. There is an understanding that like we all are experiencing the same thing, just in different mediums, which has always been fascinating to me, because like how we were talking about earlier too, where it's just like, there's people on the street that we'll run into, there's people that we'll see. And it's just like, we're thinking so heavily that is like, they're thinking about us, when it's just like, what if we're the only ones that are thinking about those specific thoughts? And we're the ones that are making it seem like these people are thinking about us. So it's just like, well, what happens if, say, I change that perspective and I change my view on that to make it be more of, I want to think what they're thinking about me and make them be good thoughts compared to bad thoughts. And then just almost like let the world fall into place from that point forward. And I've just always found that idea fascinating, because like the odds of us running into like you coming into this Discord server and sharing the information that you did around mental health, I'm like, okay, this dude, like, clearly there's something here that either God, somebody else is compelling me to want to have that same conversation with. So I was like, let's just ping him, ask him a question, see if he's down, because I'm all about connecting with people that have more like authenticity. And I think everybody does have the authenticity within them. It just sometimes it can be a little bit hard to sometimes bring that out, because people aren't always 100% open. But like I've always found open people, like how you say you run into people and you just have these conversations with them. I'm like, that's awesome, because I do the same thing. Like I'll just be out there in the world and I'll just have this random conversation that goes deep and they'll open up. And I'm like, what's going on? So I was just like, might as well share this type of thing with the rest of the world and show that like everybody does have this. It's just social media and all these other things, I think, kind of prevent that. And maybe their understanding of not accepting God or whatever it may be, like just allows them to kind of like shut down. And I've never been a fan of that. Like, let's just show the love, give that happiness, and just kind of let the right people kind of come to us in time.
Yeah, and we're not forcing anything upon anyone. What are we doing? We are spreading positivity. We're spreading happiness. We're spreading amazing insights that a lot of people can gain benefit from. I'm sure, like, these type of podcasts that you do, they will definitely catch on, you know, to the right audience. And they will help them in whatever type of way, whatever they're going through, you know, just by hearing out somebody's own story and learning that, you know, they were able to get out of it. I'm sure I can get out of it too, you know, so that's huge. And I really resonate with that. I wanted to tell you a little story about how I did my podcast earlier today, right? And how me and the guy connected, right? So how did we connect? It was this random guy on Instagram. He saw me on his reels when he was looking through, right? And apparently he lived just 5 minutes away from me, not even 5 minutes away from me, but he texted me, asked me where I lived and everything. But obviously he didn't just text me, ask me where I live, you know. He texted me telling me, I like your content and everything, you know, we should get down together and have a talk sometime. I would love to do that. And I said, yeah, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself? And men are so simple, bro. Guys are so simple, you know. It's like these females that just really have like all these other extra stuff that they do. But no hate towards females, I love, you know, I love everybody. But anyways, so we talked on Friday and we met up today on Sunday, and we didn't know each other before that, you know. So it was just really nice, and it was my first time meeting him, and then everything was on camera and everything, so it was just really nice just to see that all come together. And he, by the end of it all, I'll tell you something, man, he was able to break a bad habit, and he said that you were the reason that I'm able to break that bad habit, and also, like, God has brought us together, and you are, like, this is a sign. You know, he kept on saying that over and over. Wallah, this is a sign. Like, he Wallah means I swear by God's name that this is a sign, you know. So it was like I was really appreciative of what he said and everything. But this is not the first time that this has happened, you know. I've helped a lot of people in this type of manner, and just the way I connect with people, and people who have done, like, I don't want to get into that topic, so I'm not going to talk about it, but, like, there's people who have done certain things, and I'm able to connect with them because I've also been through that same struggle, right? And just, like, easily connecting with them and easily talking with them and talking about my own story, and then, like I said, it all comes back full circle, man. It's just beautiful. So I really connect with what you're doing, and I'm really proud of you for what you're doing. I know you may not hear this all the time, but, like, I'm really proud of you for what you're doing, and I want you to keep this up, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. There was a part of my life when it was very hard for me to have, like, praise. Like, I would just kind of rub it off and just be like, they don't mean it type of thing. I need to be better. I need to work harder. So, like, hearing that from you and a couple of other people, it has been nice. And that's why, like, it's crazy how you just run into this random person, like, 5 minutes away. Who would have known? Like, I was even out at the Springs. I went out to Granby about a week ago or so. And we went out to the hot springs. I was near this little town, and I was sitting out there for a couple of hours. I run into this dude he's also meditating in, like, one of the hotter springs. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go up there and meditate with him. Typically, I'm the one weirdo that's, like, sitting out there meditating, like, eyes shut in, like, monk pose type of thing. And, like, having him there, it was nice because, like, we were just both breathing together, just, like, out in nature, like, just kind of, like, being present. And I was like, I love this. And ended up talking with him a little bit later. And dude literally practices jujitsu and Qigong, Qigong, like, it's an energy thing, like, right down the street from me. I'm like, what are the odds of me running into this dude, like, all the way out here that practices, and I've been wanting to do this? And I'm like, I've seen so many things like that happen where it's started to come, and I'm like, it's not a coincidence anymore. It's like God
is not a coincidence.
No, it's not. It's just like God's
exactly, man. That's the thing that people don't understand. There's no such thing as coincidences, man. Everything happens for a reason at exactly the time it's meant to happen for you. And you may think, yo, why am I not rich yet? Why am I not having a stable job yet? Or why am I not, you know, at the place I want to be right now? Why is God doing this to me? But that's not the question you should be asking. Because if God wants to give you patience, will he give you patience, or will he test you in a way that helps you build patience?
He'll always test you in a way that helps you build patience. It's like, you say you want this, how much, like, that's so, like, I've always liked the story, and you might not be familiar with this one, but, like, I've always enjoyed the story of Abraham, like, how he had to give up everything. He had to leave everything behind, sell off his goods. And I've just always been interested in that type of, like, experience, because it's just like, if this is what God is telling me to do, and the devil's testing him in the process to be able to be like, okay, like, I'm going to come out, like, and test him, test his faith, test his conviction, test his belief. I've been having that tested with me more and more lately. It's typically with women, because I've always struggled with women. Like, it's been bad. Like, it's not something that I pride myself on. I did, like, in my early 20s, like, I did not the best of things to women. So I'm trying to repay that karmic debt, and, like, just, like, they're people as well too. But I was part of the red community, red pill community. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all or not.
Like, the people who want to escape the matrix type shit?
Kind of. It's more of like, women aren't shit. Here's manipulative tactics that you can use to sleep with them type of thing. And
I get that.
Yeah, I was a part of that for a little while. I never went super deep because I didn't want to be the dude that was going out to the bars trying to sleep with women in my 70s or something like that. I was like, that wasn't what God was compelling me to do. But yeah, it was a rough time for me back then. So, like, that conviction, that testing, like, I keep going to these places where it's like these girls are dressed in very skimpy outfits type of thing. And I'm like, dude, why am I having to go over here? And it's like, because I need to maintain eye contact, just look at them, not worry about, like, everything else below, and, like, get to know them as a person. So I look at it from that perspective. But yeah, it's just like, there are no coincidences. There's always going to be testing. God's going to give us the right things at the right time and push us in the right direction that we need to be able to grow into the type of people that he wants us to become or that we're trying to become.
100%, man. I agree with that, you know. And I kind of wanted to give my own experience when it comes to women, right? I'm a 20-year-old guy. Like, what type of experience do I have with women? But I have some. So, I apologize for that.
No, dude, your grandpa should join, or your dad. Like, we'll have like a nice little conversation with everybody. I feel like that'd be fantastic.
For sure, this guy's very wise guy. You know, we'll have to have him on a podcast sometime later.
Hey, I mean, if he's got some wise words to pass down, by all means, right?
He does, bro. He does. He always be spitting gems and everything, man. So, and I respect him a lot. So, like I was saying, yeah, when it comes to women, I'm 20 years old. What type of experience would I have with women? But I've had a good amount of experience when it comes to, like, and I don't really want this to be out there in the world, right? But I do want to say that the things that I've learned from the hardships and the breakups and the things that I've been through, right? First of all, in my religion, what it teaches us is that when you like someone, right, you should not pursue them in a way where it is unlawful before marriage, right? And I've made the mistake of pursuing them and then later on realizing that, oh, what am I doing? I'm trying to make this lawful, and then just try to, you know, try to put all that away and just tell them that, yo, I'm not ready yet, or can we get married later and everything. Like, the ultimate goal is always getting married and then trying to find love or trying to find who that person is after marriage, right? Because that's the way I feel like it would just be a natural balance, right? And anyways, that's just my preference and everything, right? So me personally, I've gone through a time where I was in a really deep depressive state because of the way that, you know, I put my all into this one woman, right? And I put my all into her and everything, and it wasn't received the same type of way, or it was just a really toxic relationship, and she made me cry many times, you know. And the reason I'm talking about this is because, again, I want to normalize that, like, these things happen, and, you know, it's, you shouldn't feel like you're just alone, and things of that, to the audience that's listening, right? And also because I learned from that that it wasn't me that I needed to prove myself to her. I needed to work on myself for myself and then let the right person be attracted towards me. You know, that's how it ultimately should play out. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
100%. Like, because, yeah, I always worked on, it was always, she's the problem. It was always like, she's the problem. She doesn't see what I have. She doesn't see myself. But it's like, well, what if I'm the problem? What if I'm the one that needs to have the self-reflection? Like, because it's crazy, dude. Like, there's this girl that I was just at the gym, just like working out, like, just no question. Like, I've done the whole game thing of like, okay, I know how to, like, the things to say, like, to be able to get the women into the type of thing. Yeah,
we know how to. You and I both, bro.
Exactly. And I was like, I just don't want to do that. So, like, she came up to me at the gym and she's like, hey, how do I use this machine? And I was just like, oh, you just do this. Like, I was just being casual, just like myself type of thing. And then, like, her and I, we have like 4-hour conversation, and it's just like, we start to get like to know each other a little bit deeper. And it's a cool thing to see. There's certain aspects that, like, I've always been like, okay, my relationship needs to be like this with this type of woman type of thing. Cause then there's another, like, I wonder, I'm like, is she testing me? Like, am I being tested to see?
Oh, like those shit tests.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's tough, dude, because it's like, is she the angel or is she the devil that's trying to prevent me from like achieving my goals? I don't think that's the case, but there was an aspect of me that like kind of did believe that for a certain period of time. Because it's like, you've probably heard stories too, where it's like, God will send down like the higher end angels, like the demons that will try, or like the devil will send them down to try and get you off your path. And there's only a select few of them that will be able to get you to that place. And that was something that I was thinking. I was like, is it because I'm getting to that next level and I'm being tested to make sure that like I am in this conviction and I'm not going to fall into my old past desires? That's why it's like, don't succumb to like greed or like your sexual desires. But I've done that for many years, and it's tough, dude, because there's no easy way to overcome that other than just be like, no, like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I don't know if you've struggled with that as well. Like, I know I've struggled with like pixels on the screen, like pornography. Like, I wouldn't say it's an addiction, but it's just like, I have gone through it like multiple times where I'm just like, I need to stop doing this. Like, this just isn't me. this isn't bringing me to the place that I want to be. And it's like, would my wife be happy with me watching this all the time? And I'm like, I don't think so. So yeah, it's a different place to be in, but I feel like a lot of men struggle with that. For sure. So
for sure. It's funny because like a lot of people struggle with that, but they're afraid to admit that they're struggling with that, you know, and this porn addiction and everything like that, it's getting more and more prominent, right? And people are losing their masculinity, and people are just, I'm not saying, that's not what I want to talk about right now. What I want to talk about is the other thing that you mentioned, is that the ego, it actually ties in with that, right? So the ego, right? What is the ego? I'm not going to get into that whole definition right there, because that's a very long definition and long discussion. What I want to talk about is the fact that what should you do with your ego? A lot of people think, well, in order to live a peaceful life and everything like that, and in order to be so good and everything, like a good human being, I need to get rid of all my ego. But that is not the case. Human beings are egotistical by nature, right? And we are also servants of God. Like you mentioned, you want to stay true to your conviction and everything, right? So God is testing us on this earth. This whole earth, this whole time on earth for us is a test, right? And we will be tested throughout this time on earth, different ways, different directions, different women, different people are going to come in our life and test us, right? And in order to stay true to that, you need to learn how to suppress your worldly desires for the ultimate goal of being a servant of God, and not for the sake of, like, not for, you're not doing it to make God happy. You're doing it because ultimately it betters your end result, right? I believe in the afterlife. I believe that we're going to go to a heaven or we're going to go to a hell based on what we have done in this life. Now, Christians, they believe a different type of thing, that we have been pardoned of all our sins because of Jesus Christ. And I respect that belief. I have, you know, they can completely follow what they want to follow. But me personally, I know that I'm going to be accountable for my sins, for my good deeds. But God has made it so easy for us to attain these good deeds. Well, let me give you an example of this that you may not know. In Islam, when, I don't know the exact, you know, the exact way that this works, but I do know the general concept, that the fact that if you do a good deed, right, it is written down instantly for you. But if you write a bad deed, it is not written down instantly for you by the angel on your shoulder or whatever. It is actually, they give you 6 hours or 7 hours, like a good period of time, in order for you to repent for that deed or ask for repentance about that deed, about that sin, right? And if you ask for repentance in that time, then that sin will not be written down. And even if it is written down, you can ask for repentance for it for any time, right? And the best part about this is the fact that all God wants us to do is to raise our hands and ask for repentance. And Allah himself has told us that our sins will be forgiven, which is so relieving at times, but it's the initial hard step that people can't do, because it's that ego again, right? That is why when we pray, we put our face down to the floor. We are submitting ourselves completely to God, knowing that there is no higher being than God, which I find is so beautiful in our religion.
Right. And have you figured out ways to overcome that ego like yourself then? Like, because I know you said like it's here to help us, but also like, do you think there are times when like your ego is too much, and it's just like, how do I like find the balance between like, okay, I need to be egotistical, but I also need to be like humble at the same time?
I'll tell you, the balance is written in Islam itself. The balance is written in there when you have to pray 5 times a day, when you gotta follow the pillars of Islam, the 5 pillars of Islam, right? And these pillars of Islam, these 5 prayers a day, is made there for you to constantly remind yourself throughout the day that, yes, I am a human being, but who is the creator of me? Who is the creator of my soul? And you know, another thing, a concept that I kind of want to bring up, because you just reminded me of it. And we in Islam, there's this concept called, we have 3 birthdays, right? And now I'm just saying this, birthdays, right? Now, a lot of people don't know about this. Even Muslims themselves don't know about this. And I like to talk to people about this, right? So we were created created as souls in the heavens, right? A long time ago, before we were brought down onto this earth. And we were all created at the same time. I knew you, Caleb, before I came down onto this earth, right? I believe in the past life type thing, you know? But I believe it in the way that I was a soul in the heaven, in I was a soul in the seven skies somewhere, you know, and we were all created at the same time, and then we were put back to sleep, right, and everything, and then what happened is we were born on this earth. We came out of our mother's womb. That is our actual birthday. And then our third birthday is for a Muslim. Like, they're raised Muslim their whole life, and they're told that, yo, you have to follow Islam by their parents. You got to pray five times a day, this and that. But the day that you choose to be a Muslim because you want to be a Muslim is the day you are reborn as your third birthday, because you are falling in love with God. You're falling in love with the actual aspect that, yo, I'm so grateful that God has given me all these opportunities, and God has put me through these tests, and I've become a stronger individual because of it all. You know, that ultimately brings out so much more appreciativeness, you know, and just like gratefulness, and just like you become overcome with this emotion. And when you become overcome with this emotion that, yo, ultimately I'm here ultimately as a traveler on this world. This is not my final destination. My final destination is either going to be hell or heaven for the rest of eternity. So ultimately, I have to follow God, not because, you know, God will be happy, but because it will ultimately benefit me. And I hope I articulated that in a good way.
No, you articulated that perfectly, I would say. Because so like with the afterlife, do you think that we're like, I don't know if you, where this comes from or not, or if this is a belief for you guys, do you have like reincarnation or anything like that? Like, we come back if we didn't repay like the things that God meant us to have when we were here?
No, that's Hinduism.
Okay.
Or, yeah, okay. I think that's Hinduism, yeah.
That's
where reincarnation comes from,
yeah. I just didn't know if it was the same thing. So once you die in the Muslim tradition, it's like you're done and you're either heaven or hell type of thing. Is that, did I understand that accurately?
Yeah, once you die, there's nothing you can do. Like, there's people who can pay charity on your behalf and everything, and stuff like that. But ultimately, like, the sins that you've done and the good deeds that you've done, this is your whole time on this earth. That you have this time on earth to either choose to follow God or choose not to follow God, right? And I hate to put it black and white, but the thing is, it is so easy for us to understand because it is black and white. If it wasn't black and white, then people would feel like, you know, oh, things are going to be fine and everything like that. And things are going to be fine because God has made it easy for us to get these good deeds, like I mentioned before. And there's so many more opportunities, and God multiplies your good deeds. He's mentioned that over and over in the Quran, that God, that I will multiply your good deeds. I don't know the exact translation. I'm not going to give you the exact translation because I don't want to get sinned for that. But, you know, there's also the thing that once you go into your grave, you're waiting until the day of judgment, right? And there will either be in your grave a window to heaven for you, and you'll see that window, and your grave will expand, and you'll feel like, yo, at peace and everything, and that time will go by like this for you, or you will suffer in the grave, and there will be snakes around you, and your grave will tighten, your chest, I've heard this description, and it's very graphic, but your chest, your rib cages will crush into each other, because of how we lived our life on this earth, you know. And whether you got more sins than you have gotten good deeds. And, you know, it's like a whole balanced scale and everything, right? So we will be counted for our good deeds. We will be counted for our bad deeds. And ultimately, bro, I find that, like, if you really want to strive to be a good Muslim, that's all you need to do. Because it's that strivation that ultimately will help you get on the right path. God is not expecting us to be perfect. That is one misconception that people have about the Muslim religion. You have to really be perfect. You have to really follow all of these things so good and everything. I myself think that I'm a very bad Muslim, right? I don't think that I'm following Islam the right way as I should be and this and that, you know, and I fall off the ladder a lot of times. But ultimately, when I know that God has made it so easy for me to turn back to Him, and just all I have to do is raise my hands and ask for forgiveness of my sins, you know, then what is there to stop me?
Like, what is the right way to follow? Like, because you say you don't feel like you're following it in the right way. Like, what is considered the right way then for you?
Yeah, well, to start off, it would be following the fards. The fards mean the requirements, which is, like I mentioned before, the five pillars. I'm following the five pillars, but I'm struggling in the daily prayers at the moment. And that is something that I know I can get back on, and I can, you know, make myself timely with that. And once I get that timely, everything else falls into place. That's what they say, you know. They say that if you get your prayers right, everything else falls into place. You will notice your life getting easier. You will notice that even if you do get challenges throughout it all, you will be able to remember God throughout it all. So it ultimately help you.
The praying five times a day, I was curious about that too. Like, is it difficult to find time throughout the day to find those prayers?
Ultimately, bro, like in Pakistan, man, it's easy. It should be easy because, you know, we hear the azan. Even like, it surprises me, but I think it's a miracle of God, bro. Like, all the windows are closed, all the doors are closed, and I can still hear the azan, the call to prayer from outside, from the local masjid with loudspeakers, you know. And that's just such a beautiful thing to hear, because when you hear that, you want to just pause whatever you're doing and just listen to it and give respect towards it, because it's literally the call to prayer. Like, there's this word in the azan that says, come to success, come to success. You know, it's so beautiful in that way, that like, God is calling you to come to prayer so that you can have success in both this life and the next life.
And
so, it's hard.
Yeah.
But honestly, bro, it's up to us. You know, and it becomes easy when you want it to become easy. You know, it's like all about your mentality. Like, is taking cold showers easy thing to do? No, it's not easy. But once you get into the habit of doing it, then like, it's hard to stop doing it because you love the feeling of doing it.
Exactly. Because is there a fasting process or like doing difficult things within Muslim traditions as well too? Like, you do something challenging to like get closer to God or get closer to the prayers or something like that?
Oh, 100%. There's a whole month for that. It's called Ramadan. And Americans, they call it Ramadan or something. But It's Ramadan. And the way that what happens during that month is such a beautiful month. Like, we fast throughout it all. And I'm not saying 30 days continuously, you don't eat anything. No, obviously not. You're going to die. But, you know, we eat in the morning right before prayer. And then we eat after the Maghrib prayer, like when it gets dark, right? Dawn comes, right? So during that time, and at certain places, it's hard to do because the days are longer or the days are shorter at certain places, right? But ultimately, what this has done is it's a spiritual exercise. It's a spiritual type of workout that you got to do. Like, you know, when you go in the gym and you try to go until failure, so because you know that, like, ultimately, this is going to help me get more reps the next time I do it. The next time I do it, I'm going to be able to do more and more and more. So fasting, when you're first starting off, it's going to be a very difficult thing to do. But then it becomes like halfway through the month, you're like, oh, this is nothing. I can easily go through the whole day without drinking, eating. You know, I'll be fine. I'll be straight. And this spiritual exercise is so strong because you know you're doing it for the sake of God, right? And God doesn't need our fasting. God doesn't need our worship. Again, I want to emphasize that, because we're doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for our spiritual, for our soul strength and everything, right? So when you know how to fast, right, imagine how easily it will be for you to abstain from sin, right? Because you're stopping yourself from drinking, from eating, which is permissible on all the months, which is not Ramadan. And then when you get out of Ramadan, and now all you have to abstain from is sin. Right, so you know that, yo, I was able to stop drinking and eating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I might as well stop sinning, like, before Ramadan, you know, or after Ramadan, or during Ramadan, because I now have the strength to be able to do that.
It's funny how that works, how we just have like that one small little, like, we challenge ourselves in like little ways to help us become stronger or more capable. I like the gym reference, because I use that same reference with a couple of my friends too. I'm like, I'm not going to teach you, like, say we're going on a spiritual path or we're wanting to become closer to God or we're wanting to figure out the religion. It's like, I'm not going to be like, hey, you need to read this whole book. It's like, okay, let's start out with the gym. Start here. Like, we're doing bench. We're just going to do the bar. Like, that's all we're doing right now. Then we'll start to work up to 10s, 25s, 45s, 225, and so on and so forth. Because you got to build that muscle up first. It's not like if we just gave everything all at once, like, we'd be crushed. Like, there'd be no understanding of it.
Definitely. I love that. I love that you understand this. I love that you're open to hearing my side and conversation about this. You know, I hope it's enlightening to you.
It always is.
I hope it's at least like, you know, giving you new knowledge if you didn't know about this before. So, yeah.
No, dude, I appreciate you sharing these types of things, because these are things that I'm always curious about. And I feel like the media and other individuals that I've talked with in the past, like, they get so aggressive and like gung-ho of like, no, this is the way that you need to think. But I'm like, let us believe what we want to believe, like, giving me different perspectives, like, if certain things like the fasting, like, and like praying five times a day, that's something where it's like, I'd like to do that myself as well too. Like, I meditate two or three times a day most days, and it's tough sometimes to do that, but I'm just like, it's part of what I do, and it's just part of like who I am as a person. So finding that time, and I like how you also said, like, in Pakistan, they have, it sounds like, speakers that give a prayer 5 times a day, and it kind of like helps you like get more in tune with Allah. I'm guessing, is that accurate, or am I missing? Okay.
Yeah, it's accurate. It's accurate. Yeah.
Cause yeah, I've never been.
It's so beautiful.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that like praying itself is a meditation. It's a form of meditation. A lot of people don't think of it that way, but when we pray and the way that we pray, we are devoting ourselves. We're, you know, putting away all of our daily activities, and we're just giving our time towards reflection, towards, you know, calling out to God, asking to be on the straight path, you know. And I feel like that is very much needed in today's society, right?
Exactly. It's probably one of the most needed things, because I was talking with this other dude, and he's like, most of men's problems stem from man not being able to sit in the room by himself for more than like 10 minutes. So I'm just like, if we just spent more time, because how I look at it is, it's like me sitting in the room by myself, in a sense, is me sitting with God. Like when I am praying, it is like I'm sitting there with him, and like, I'm just there. Like I'm just being present, which I think is very valuable. And it's a skill that I'd like to be able to share more of. So that's why I like having conversations with you, and helping hopefully bring awareness around like different types of religion, perspective, like how everybody does it, I think is a much better way to go about it. Because we all struggle with things. And the best way that I've come to see, like, to get closer to like myself and like the patience and God, is by like having the conversations, putting myself in those uncomfortable situations to overcome them. Because like, I noticed you shaking a little bit halfway through, but like I also see you calming down a little bit too, which I'm like, okay, that's like, that's good. And all that's because of like everything else. But like being able to acknowledge that and having that awareness, I feel like within ourselves, by doing the practice every single day, helps us become closer to self-understanding of ourselves, along with just like being overall well-rounded people. Because I feel like if more people had, like, I know like having God in a direction has helped me in more ways than I ever could have imagined. And I have a feeling that it's the same thing for you, which I am curious, like, do you have a perspective, or like, do you know that, like, the difference between like belief and faith? Like, is that a big thing that's talked about in like your religion, or is that not something that, like, because I heard that a little while ago, and I'm always just kind of curious as to people's like understanding of that.
First, I would like to ask you, what do you think is the difference between belief and faith?
Belief is something that like I have with them. Like, I believe I can do this. Like, I believe that I can make a YouTube channel. Like, I believe that I can make sales. Like, I believe that I can do said thing. And then the faith is just like, I have faith that it's just going to happen. Like, I have faith that in a higher power and a higher being, that things will just kind of transpire. And I'll run into these coincidences where like I run into you, chat with you, chat with another guy, chat with other people. And that's like the faith of me being able to step out into the world and allowing God just to kind of like flow through me in a sense, and have other conversations with other gods as well, which is, it's, yeah, that's kind of where my faith comes in, is just the unseen, but the belief is the scene that I have within myself type of thing.
I was just about to say that, literally. I was just about to say that the faith for us is faith in the unseen. And, you know, there's the belief is the fact that, you know, we got all of this stuff around us that we can actually believe in. And then you got to really think about it, like, yo, what is controlling all of this? In order to have a system, you need to have a boss. You need to have a creator, because there's no way. You think about it this way. The sun, the earth is a perfect distance from the sun. It's not too close for us to burn up. It's not too far for us to die in of fucking freezing, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, like, ultimately, bro, the belief in faith isn't, it's like, very strongly in Islam, and you know, it's the core foundation of it, right? You got to really believe in the last messenger, you got to believe in the unseen, you know, have faith in the unseen. And yeah, man.
Yeah, because sure. Like, where did, like, I'm assuming that you've always had this religious belief in yourself. Like, has it just been something that you've grown up with, or did you come like to this later in your life?
I have a good story about that. So I was raised a Muslim, right? And I was always raised a Muslim, and I've always tried to follow Islam and everything. I've obviously fallen off the ladder, like I mentioned before, but I've helped a couple of my friends who were non-Muslims come towards Islam and embrace Islam, you know? And the way that their journey is, it's very inspiring, very beautiful. And they've done it just by hearing the way that like I told you, the third birthday, right? And when I talk about that night, when I talk about the spiritual enlightening that I had, I really am able to connect with them, you know, with my friends, with these people. And they'll ask me certain questions that are logical questions. And Islam encourages us to ask questions, just like you're asking me questions right now, which is why it's such a beautiful religion, you know. And I'm not saying other religions don't ask you to ask questions, but there's a certain part in other religions where you just have to believe just because you believe, right? In Islam, it's kind of different, where you gotta, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to believe, but He wants us to have that faith and foundation in us that we believe out of our own will, not because we're told to believe. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my friends that have, you know, converted to Islam and they're following Islam, I've got a message from one of them. I'll actually pull it up on my phone if you can give me a second. But like, yeah, you can continue what you're saying and then I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah. Dude, no, it's awesome. Yeah, there questions is how I've always gotten to answers. And that's why I question everything, because it's like, might as well question everything and then make the decision for myself at the end of the day. Like, okay, do I want to believe this or do I want to believe that? And when I've been there where it's just like, push this, like push self-development, personal growth, God, spirituality, whatever it may be, read this book, listen to this podcast. That never gets me anywhere. So I'm like, let's just ask questions and let people come to the decision themselves, because I feel like that's a much better approach. Because like, I can't control what you do. You can't control what I do. The only person out there is to change is self. So if we just ask the right questions and are willing to be open to other people's like beliefs or questions or whatever it may be, doesn't mean that I'm trying to change your mind or you're trying to change mine. It's just more of a, like, it's a perspective shift of like, help me understand like, hey, this is how other people think. And maybe we can think the same thing or find a common ground, because we're all just people trying to live our own life until we do go to that next place when like, we are done on this little like journey that we're here for.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's crazy, bro. You blowing my mind, and like, honestly, it's a beautiful conversation. So yeah, I found the message that my friend sent to me. He said, "Thank you, brother, for opening the door to Islam for me, which is no doubt the truth and hands down the best possible way to live your life. It keeps me disciplined in all aspects of life and made the relationship between me and my family richer and countless more things I can't explain in this text. There's also a genuine brotherhood, too, in Islam that's super unique and is unlike anything I've ever experienced. People need to hear more about Islam, man. Keep spreading Dawah, bro." Dawah means like spreading of Islam, you know, religion. "Bro, you have no idea how thankful I am for you showing me this way of life." SubhanAllah.
That's awesome, man. That's got to be a good feeling, right? Like getting that text and him saying those things.
It's a great feeling, man. Alhamdulillah, man. It's a great feeling, bro. It's these messages like these that make me emotional, you know. And I've known this brother for a year or two, and the way that his journey is crazy, man. Like, I'm not going to mention his name, but like, he was going down a really wrong path, and he was, you know, in love with certain aspects that were not very faith-like in any religion, right? And when he wanted to ask questions, he asked me the question on Snapchat randomly, right? And we just connected off of that, and then we met each other at a graduation party, and like, you can tell how young we are, you know, we graduated out of high school and everything, but like, it's moments like these where you can really connect with a person. And obviously you can connect with a person anytime in life, but like, the moment that I connected with him and we just asked questions and just, you know, I was able to explain Islam to him, I was able to connect with him. First of all, I don't like to talk about with people like, yo, this is the book, like, you should follow it. No, like you mentioned earlier, that's not a way that you should spread any religion, right? But I like to tap into their feelings, right? How are they feeling emotionally? What gets them going? What gets them motivated? What gets them really wanting to connect with their higher self, with their God, right? So that's what I did, and ultimately it was successful. Alhamdulillah. Means all praise to God.
That's awesome. So he came to you didn't come to him? Like, he was just like, hey, I'm trying to figure this out, and was it just asking you questions then?
He wasn't even asking me questions directly about Islam. That's the funny thing. But yes, he did come to me first, and it was at the right time and everything. And he sent me a video of this one guy or something like that, and then I was explaining the video, and I was talking to him about spiritual aspects and everything. And he told me, recently I've been trying to be more spiritual and this and that. And I said, what do you think about, you know, you can be spiritual in Islam as well, you know? And then we started, the conversation just flowed and flowed, and then we met up in person a couple more times. And it was just so beautiful, man. And we prayed together, and I was leading the prayer, and, you know, that is just one instance. I've had a couple of other friends, like, similar stories where they've converted to Islam, you know, so it's very beautiful.
You've had a couple of friends of yours that have, were they religious beforehand, or did they just, they had
They were religious in the way that they were constantly questioning life, or they were believing in a God, but they just didn't know which direction to go in, you know?
So you kind of gave them that direction to kind of be like, okay, this might help you kind of see the world in a little bit of a different perspective.
Yeah. And ultimately, bro, I feel like Islam is the truth. Islam is the truth. And Islam is easy to understand. Islam is simple. And when you really want to find a deeper meaning to your life, you will ultimately find that way back to God and back to Islam, back to the truth, you know, inshallah.
Like, what's your advice to somebody if, say, they, like, lose their faith in God? Because I've lost my faith in a certain regard where, like, I just didn't believe God was real. And then it's just, like, coming back to it is, like, it's changed my perspective. So I don't know if you've ever – it sounds like you kind of have run into a similar situation, but I don't know exactly what kind of brought you back.
I have run into a similar situation. I haven't, like, completely ignored the existence of God, but I've come close, you know. And when I got myself out of that situation, the way that I did that is, you know, like I said, that journaling helps a lot, that really writing with yourself, allowing those thoughts to come into your mind freely. And then talking and surrounding yourself with the right people is very important. Like, I would go to my local mosque, my local masjid, and, you know, talk with my teachers over there, my sheikhs over there. And they would provide a lot of perspective and help for me as well, you know. So if you're ever feeling lost, bro, Islam is such a beautiful place that, you know, we've got the sense of brotherhood, a sense of sisterhood for all the sisters. All, you know, all the brothers have a brotherhood. And, you know, you can easily come to a brother, even if they don't know you, just by the simple fact that you follow the same religion. They will be dropping everything and helping you because they know it is one of their duties as a Muslim being, as a Muslim, you know, to, in order to help spread the religion and in order to help people's faith, which is why it's so easy to get back on the ladder after you've fallen off.
Yeah. And that's not the type of content that you make, is it? Like, you know, I noticed the Instagram post that you sent me before this as well too. Like, it was you singing a prayer, which I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, that you're able to do that. And I didn't know if that was something that you, like, do you want more people to kind of be aware of the Muslim religion? Is that kind of your objection? Like,
no, I actually, that's crazy. Yeah, I actually don't usually post things like that, but I was just feeling it, you know. I was just making random TikToks, and I was like, why am I dancing to TikTok songs? I can do something knowledgeable, you know, and spread something positive, you know. So I wanted to see what people's reaction would be to it, and, you know, also get a good deed for sharing the Quran, you know. So that was just my thought process behind it all. And maybe I do switch to a more religious aspect in my videos, but I do want to keep it general right now, just at the current process that I'm in, because I'm not following Islam as I want to be, as much as I want to be. And I've always believed in that in order to spread a message towards somebody, you got to actively be following it yourself, because there's power in your words, there's power in your heart. Everything that you say is waves of energy.
Exactly. It's all energy. Like, that's a conversation that I'm probably going to be having later tonight, is it's all about it. Like, because let's say you weren't following religion, or I didn't leave my job, like, and I was telling people or being like, hey, yeah, you should follow your dreams, chase after what you want to chase after. And I'm not living by that example. It was hard for me to talk about those things. So I can understand where you're coming from. And I was in the same place where it's like, I don't want to talk about this because, like, I would feel almost like a fraud at a certain point. I was like, I don't want that. Yeah. Dude, it's.
All right, my man. I'm kind of feeling a little bit tired, you know.
Yeah, dude. I was thinking about calling it as well too. I think we did about like an hour or so, which was awesome. Which I don't know if you have anything that you want to leave myself with or anybody listening with, because I'll link obviously.
With you, Caleb, because you're asking questions about Islam. All I ask for you to do is start reading the translation of Quran, right? Because it's a message towards you directly from God. And let me give this a message towards you and towards the whole audience, that there's a miracle of the Quran. Now, what is the miracle of the Quran? It's this. If you have the Quran, whether a physical copy, an app on your phone or whatever, and you scroll through it randomly, or you flip through it to a random page, It can be any random page. It could be the middle, the half, the quarter, whatever, any random page. You like, you're thumbing through it and you stop, and then you read the translation of both the pages that are in front of you, right? And then the front and back of both pages as well. And whatever question you have in your mind previous to when you were opening the Quran, you will find the answer to it. I'll do it right now for you.
Please. I like to see this. Because yeah,
it's a miracle of the Quran. And a lot of people don't know about this, but like, it's changed my life a lot of times, you know? So let me open up the Quran app.
I have talked about that before too. Everybody think it needs a Bible or something in there. Something. You know?
Yeah, something for sure. So let me just put the translation in there real quick. I'll put the Easy Quran translation. Okay. Give me just a second. Okay, so now, as you can see, I've got the Quran open, right? And there's text of the Arabic, and then there's English text. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the surahs list, the chapters list, right? And I'm just going to scroll so you can see that I'm scrolling, and you tell me when to stop.
Right there.
Okay, so my finger landed on Surah 70, Al-Ma'arij, okay? It's a Makki surah. And I'm just going to read whatever I got this here on the top. And we haven't gotten into this with a previous question, but that's still okay, because this whole podcast was a beautiful conversation. So let's read it here, okay? So it says, oh, wow. Damn. SubhanAllah. So it says, so this day they will have no close friends here. That he's talking about the Day of Judgment. Nor any food except oozing pus. You know, like the weird thing that you get from like a scar,
mm-hmm.
which none will eat except the evildoers. He's talking about hell and the evildoers, they will eat the pus. Now, I do swear by whatever you see and whatever you cannot see, indeed, this Quran is the recitation of a noble messenger. It is not the prose of a poet, as you claim. Yet, you hardly have any faith. Nor is it the mumbling of a fortune teller. Yet, you are hardly mindful. It is a revelation from the Lord of all worlds. Had the messenger made up something in our name, we would have certainly seized him by his right hand, then severed his aorta. And none of you could have shielded him from us. Indeed, this Quran is a reminder to those mindful of Allah. And we certainly know that some of you will persist in denial. Some of you will persist in denial. I'm not talking about you, you know. I'm just saying,
like, yeah, no,
people questioning, and yeah, no, obviously, you know. So, and it will surely be a source of regret for the disbelievers. And indeed, this Quran is the absolute truth. I was talking about it's the truth like 10 minutes ago, bro. So glorify the name of your Lord, the greatest. Allahu Akbar.
It isn't it? It's so cool. Like, I love
hey,
that.
Man, hey, hey man, just like take a second to reflect on it, my man. Let's have a moment of silence right now, bro. That's what we need, bro.
Dude, it's like it's real. It's real, man. Once you see it, like everything else just it falls into place. And it's like the odds of you reading that and talking about truth, it's just like I love that. I really do, man. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. Well, with me and everybody else, too. Like, I really do. It means a lot, man. So thank you.
For sure. Thank you. I got you, man. And as you can see, like, we were talking about truth, and it comes up truth, and we were talking about hell and how you can go to hell, and then it talks about hell right there. And, you know, there are constant reminders, and this is also talking about that the Quran is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I was mentioning, that it's a handbook for humanity. It's a word of God. And I was mentioning all about this throughout the whole podcast. And now, ultimately, in the end, it all captures it together in just a few verses, bro. SubhanAllah.
Well, that's why, like, I love those books, like the Quran, the Bible, like any sort of, like, the Bodhisattva, like these books that they stand the test of time. Like, it's the one books that, like, it's here for hundreds of thousands of years. So it's like, there must be some truth in there. Because how many other books do you know that have been able to stand generation after generation after generation?
Yeah, and the thing is, there is no other book other than the Quran that has stayed generation after generation after generation, because all other books have been changed. And you know yourself, the Bible has hundreds of versions, and every year they add more things to it or decrease things from it, you know, for to cater to society. And who gave you the right, or who gave these people the right to change the Bible, right? So nobody gave the right to anybody to change the Quran. And ultimately, that is why I feel like it will ultimately be like, it will stay true to the test of time forever, as long as we're here on this earth, man.
Exactly, man. Yeah, I love it. And if you want to do another one of these too, like around like talking about Quran, the religion in general, or even just self-development, I know that's the direction we were originally heading, but I like the direction that we ended up going. That's why I like not having a plan for these things, because I just like whatever comes to mind is the things that I enjoy talking about. So I do truly appreciate you sharing the story with me. And I know that we could go for another 2 hours if we really wanted to. I just know that you said you were getting a little tired. So I was like, we can call here. I enjoyed the conversation that we had, man. And yeah, dude, I appreciate you doing this with me today.
I appreciate you too a lot, Caleb, man. And shout out my Instagram real quick, shahir.21. SHAHER.21, and yeah, you guys can follow me on there for more content like this. And I really appreciate you for having me on here, man. It was a beautiful, a really thought-provoking conversation for me as well, and I feel like I'm stepping in a better direction every single day by interacting with people like you. So thank you for having me on
here. Yeah, of course. And his Instagram will be linked down below too. Like, I'll link that in the description for him, so they can listen, follow you there, reach out to you, ask questions about religion or even self-development and personal growth as well too. I think there's a lot of value for you, that to be had right now. And I appreciate you being brave enough, man, to be able to come on here and step out of your comfort zone. So I appreciate that, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Awesome, dude. Well, I will let you get back to what you were doing. And we'll reconvene sometime in the future.
For sure. Inshallah.
Awesome.
God willing, my brother.
Later, brother. Love you.
Awesome. Talk to you soon. Have a nice day, man.
You too.
All right.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of Shahir. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Shahir and I talking about religion, faith, and God, along with a couple of other personal growth aspects. If you did, leave a comment down below of what you thought or took away from this conversation, because I'd love to hear you guys' opinions and perspectives on religion, God, spirituality, and the works, because I know that it can help us become closer when we do have an open community of discussion around these types of topics, compared to being shut down for your ideas and beliefs, which is something that I don't ever want to do, and or have you feel like that is something that other people are doing to you. So see you guys in the next episode, and appreciate you spending the hour with me. I really do appreciate it, and I do hope the value that I brought was well worth your time.